Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I am James Seltzer, and today I get to come to you after potentially the game of the season last night, at least to date, as it was a roller coaster affair. The Phillies end up winning it 6-5 in the bottom of the 10th. Aaron Altherr ends up being the hero of the evening. We'll get to that, but it was a crazy game. We'll go through the twists and turns. 38-32 now on the season for this Phillies team. They are now tied with the Washington Nationals, 3.5 back of the Braves. More importantly, currently tied for the second wild card spot in the National League. So back in it there. And again, as we talked about many times on this show, I just wanted them to stay afloat this month. And big win yesterday, especially when it looked like it was going to be potentially the worst loss of the season to date. And I don't say that lightly, knowing some of the losses we've had so far this season. Obviously, the one in Chicago with the Jason Hayward Grand Slam comes to mind quite recently. And of course, a few Hector Neris outings. More on Hector Neris coming up, as you will not be seeing as much of him in the near future. That's certainly for sure. But we've certainly had some tough losses, and this one looked like it could have been the worst of them all. We'll get into that. But again, 38-32 on the season. For some perspective here, as again, look, that was a thrilling game last night. Hopefully the one that will get people excited about this team right now. But I've definitely felt a general lack of positivity about a team that right now, again, 38-32, where I think people, maybe they got a little over expectations, higher, too high expectations after the hot start and being right there in first place for a day, half game up on the Braves and all that stuff. And now people are just don't seem to be willing to buy in or excited about a team that's really playing some fun baseball and finding ways to win games even without hitting the ball that great or lately pitching great or certainly having a bullpen that they can't trust on. We'll get into that, of course, as that has been obviously one of the main topics of discussion for this team, as we saw it in spades last night and certainly have seen it the last few nights in terms of some tough outings for Neris again as well. But again, for some perspective on a team that is the youngest in baseball, that has a manager that is in his first season as a manager at the major league level and really at any level, other than some independent league work he did or whatever. But again, for some perspective, the 38th win of the season coming yesterday. Last year, the Phillies did not win their 38th game until July the 30th. It is June 19th. And then if you look back to June 19th last year in 2017, the team was 22-46 today. So 38-32, tied for a wild card spot right now. Let's have some perspective. Plus, really coming through in some clutch moments. We've talked about that a fair amount this season, that, you know, not just are they resilient, but while they haven't hit a ton for the most part, they've had some big hits. They've seemed to come through in clutch spots, and we saw that again last night. 5-1 now in extra inning games for this team. So they found a way to win the ones that get close at the end, when they don't have the bullpen blow it, of course. But again, let's dive into it. Again, just a thrilling game last night. 6-5, the Phillies end up winning it in 10 innings. Let's start at the top with Nick Pivetta, who was just outstanding last night, pounding the strike zone early. First pitch strikes, it seemed to every single batter he was facing, and it paid off. 13 strikeouts on the evening in 7 1/3 innings. He just a terrific outing. Look, even in a high strikeout climate right now, 13 strikeouts is impressive. Even more impressive when you factor in only one walk. 13 strikeouts, one walk. Pivetta's been really good with the strikeout to walk rate this season. Came into the game with a 4-1 rate, and obviously in this game, he 13-1 rate, so that's really impressive. And just had St. Louis hitters off balance and swinging and missing and just out of sorts all night long. Did get into some trouble in the eighth before he got out of there. Shout out to Adubray Ramos. We'll get to that in a bit. But really great outing from Pivetta. Shame he couldn't get the win. We'll get to Jake Thompson, your winning pitcher. We'll get to that as well. But Pivetta, really a great outing, especially after, you know, 4 or 5 straight outings where you just kind of felt like it wasn't the Nick Pivetta we had grown accustomed to seeing over the first 2 months of the season or first month and a half, and really struggling as of late. And of course, his last outing, potentially his worst against Colorado, 6 earned runs allowed in that one. Worst as of late for sure. And one of his worst, and certainly bounced back against a good Cardinals lineup, or at least a solid Cardinals lineup, with a vengeance with the 13 strikeout outing. Also, the offense got going early. You felt good about this one. This was one of those games that it just felt like they were going to win until it didn't for a little bit, but then they ultimately did. But the offense gets on Miles Mikolas early, who's fun to watch. He's got a lot of movement and certainly wasn't his best stuff tonight, but he's been great for the Cardinals, and you can see why. It's certainly his sinker sings hard and looks like a tough pitch to hit. But they get going early. Cesar hits a single to start the game off. Reese draws a walk. Thought he had it at 3-1 count and started running to first base and ended up being strike two. But then the next pitch was the ball. Got to go to first base after all. And then up strides Odubel Herrera. And he just parks one in the right field seats. A 3-0 lead. Knapp would plate Santana later in the inning as well, making it 4-0 before the first frame was over, and you felt good. J.B. Crawford led off the second with a double. They weren't able to capitalize, but you're still feeling good at this moment. And then Pivetta allows a solo shot to Matt Carpenter. Not too much to worry about. 4-1. Then the seventh inning comes along. Pivetta has been cruising, and then all of a sudden, boom, another solo shot, this one to Yadier Molina. So now 4-2 again, not sweating it too much. You're starting to think ahead and knowing that the bullpen is on tap, and that is sadly a clear worry these days, but still feeling good with the way Pivetta's pitching and the way the offense has been, at least not since the first inning going, but putting up some opportunities. Reese Hoskins almost gave them what would have been a crucial insurance run, it turns out, in the seventh inning. It was so close, a fly ball to left field that just hooked outside the pole. At first, they thought it was a home run, but it was definitely foul on the replay. It was clear. Then the top eighth comes around, as I mentioned before. Pivetta cruising along at that point, but runs into some trouble, ends up getting runners at second and third. Gets a big out for one out, second and third, and it's time for Adubray Ramos to come in against the 2 and 3 hitters in the Cardinals lineup with Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez, and boy, does Adubray Ramos shut it down. Strikes Tommy Pham out, 2 outs. He strikes out Jose Martinez, too, in a bullpen that has been just, again, really, really disappointing, especially the last month or so. Sir Anthony Dominguez, we've all talked about. We know that that's the one guy you feel you can really count on in all the big spots. But I think it's time we start taking Adubray Ramos seriously in that role as well, as he has just been outstanding this season and given us no reason to doubt it, and comes in a really high leverage spot there and just shuts it down with two huge strikeouts. So we get to the top of the ninth. Victor Arano comes out, and this spot, I'm good with that. You know, it's not Luis Garcia, not Adam Morgan. I feel all right about it. And Arano gets an out, and then single, double, second and third with one out. He gets a huge strikeout, and you're just sitting there, give me one more, give me one more, give me one more. And then, so it's 4-3 at this point, as he does allow a run, and it's 4-3. No, excuse me, 4-2. So, and then the strikeout, and you think the game is over because Victor Arano, after getting the strikeout for the second out, strikes out the next batter, but Oh no, it was a swinging strike. It goes under Knapp. It cruises to the backstop. Not only was it not a strikeout and ends up being a runner on first base, but a run is able to score from third base. It's now 4-3 with two outs in the ninth inning. Pitching change time. Adam Morgan coming in to face the lefty Colton Wong. And wouldn't you know it, of course, Colton Wong laces an RBI single, now 4-4, and the Phillies can't get it done in the bottom of the ninth, really don't pose much of a threat, just get one base runner. We head to the top of the 10th, and who do I see pitching on my screen but Jake Thompson? Why? Why is Jake Thompson pitching in that spot? Jake Thompson also comes in the last game of the Milwaukee series there, getting that last out that Odubel had to jump and twist to make a great play on the yellow fly ball. But I don't know why Jake Thompson was there. It made no sense to me, and promptly he gives up a home run to Tommy Pham. It's 5-4. And now, after, again, this game was over. It was 4-2. There were two outs, and Victor Arano struck a guy out. How many times is a game not over in that situation? I can't wait for Jason Stark to come out and tell us when the last time that happened was, because it's unbelievable. It is unbelievable. So just a really, really crazy situation. But ultimately, again, the Phillies end up, you know, not being able to hold the lead after that still. And it goes to extras. Tommy Pham homers 5-4. And, you know, you still, in the bottom of my gut, felt like the Phillies could win or should win or were going to win. But it was really tough. And, you know, you had Reese and Odubel and Carlos Santana coming up, the top of the order. But still, it was absolutely terrifying in this moment after, again, a game the Phillies had won. It, again, this was going to be, even with the grand slam in the bottom of the ninth in Chicago, I think this would be a worse loss because they struck out a guy to end the game and it didn't end up ending the game. But Ruiz comes up first at bat of the inning, and with a great at bat, he falls down 1-2 in the count. He's able to find a pitch that he can just kind of shorten his swing up on and fist it into left center field, able to get to first base. Runner on first, no outs. Odubel, a grounder up the middle, kind of a chopper, and he is so close to an infield single, is end up thrown out at first. He was called safe at first, but the replay review correctly overturned it. Ruiz gets to second base, but real quickly, Odubel slid into first base. Why are people still sliding into first base? Is it just instinct? Is it, what is it? Because I think that we have all, I feel like everyone always agrees when they talk about this subject, that it is faster if you just run through the base. Diving, it just takes longer. Just keep forward momentum. This is like, I feel like it's a fact. And everyone agrees about it. Commentators, managers, whatever. So why are people still sliding into first base? And it looked like he was out by the hand flop by the time the hand got to the base. And I think if he had run straight through, he probably would have been safe. But he's out. Ultimately, Carlos Santana will get walked. Jesmiel Valentine, they're coming after you. First and second, one out. Jesmiel Valentine, and look, it was a good at bat. He laced a ball that ended up being just foul into right field that could have done something. Gets it to 3-2, but then swings at a pitch that was certainly, in my eyes, ball 4, but strikes out. So we are down to our last out. And this team is about to just have one of this awful, terrible losses. And up strides to the plate is that Aaron Altair. Who else but the guy who is batting like 170-something and having just an atrocious offensive season so far. And wouldn't you know it, Aaron Altair steps to the plate with runners on first and second, and he ropes a rip into left field, and it was almost caught too, a diving attempt off the glove, and the runners come around to score, and what would have been, could have been, potentially was going to be the worst loss of the season to date turns around and ends up being maybe the best, one of the best, certainly one of the funnest, one of the few walk-offs we've had. Just a awesome, awesome win for the Phillies to improve to 38-2. And again, a resilient win in a game where a lot of teams would have folded the way that imploded, the way that that ended. Again, a game that was over with a strikeout and wasn't. And then ultimately they end up going down in the top of the 10th on that home run, and it just felt hopeless for a moment there, and yet this team battled back. And again, for all the people who don't understand why they're winning or how they're winning, I understand that, but at the same time, there's certainly something about this group that is resilient and never thinks they're out of a game, and has proven that, and that is a hell of a quality to have in your team. So I think that's something, at least if you are kind of on the fence with this team, just something to be positive about. And look, I'm not saying they're a World Series contender, but I'm saying that I think that they can continue to hang around and play meaningful September baseball, and I think that it's going to be fun for everybody and good for this young team to get those type of reps. So let's all hope it happens. All right, coming up, a couple more notes from the game, and also, as I mentioned, Hector Neris. What happened to Hector? Why won't you be seeing him soon? And then, of course, looking ahead to tonight's Game 2 against the Cardinals. It is Phillies Today. James Seltzer, we're coming right back. We are back. Phillies Today. James Seltzer, as we chronicled one of the best, if not the best, wins of the season so far, as the Phillies just a roller coaster of emotions. It's never easy with this team, as they up 4-2, then it's 4-4, then it's 5-4 St. Louis, and then the Phillies win it 6-5 in the bottom of the 10th inning. Aaron Altair, the hero. Jake Thompson gets the win, which is example number 8,650,500. I missed a billion in there, but there are a ton of examples of why wins are a very misleading and somewhat silly stat for pitchers, in that, you know, there is so much dependent on the rest of the team. Nick Pivetta throws 7 1/3 innings, allows 4 hits, 2 earned runs, a 13-1 strikeout to walk rate, and he gets nothing. And Jake Thompson comes in the top of the 10th, allows a home run to lose the lead, and ends up getting the win. It's stupid, but whatever. It's not going to change, but just don't take wins too seriously when you're judging the best pitchers and judging stats. Don't go, well, he won this many games, because sometimes that can be incredibly, incredibly misleading. And look, I mentioned before the break, Hector Neris, the many fans, I'm sure, got their wish. Jake Thompson able to get the win last night after getting the save the night before. I don't know what's going on. None looked awful in doing both. Hector Neris, though, who of course has been just the bane of our existence, it seems, lately. No one ever feels comfortable with him in the game, even though a good outing on Saturday night, then Sunday comes in with a 10-5 lead. It's 10-9 before you know it. Hector Neris has been optioned to AAA, even with the struggles. I didn't see this coming, at least not now. And Austin Davis, a lefty, called up. So look, we're at that point. Hector Neris, your closer to start the season, is now optioned to AAA, as this bullpen is a bit of a problem, right? I mean, it's kind of hard to deny that this is a problem. And even though they won this game last night, and certainly again in thrilling fashion, they don't have a lot of answers right now. And you saw what happened last night when Kapler didn't have Sir Anthony Dominguez available, and smartly should not, as Dominguez has been used far too often as of late. But at the same time, it doesn't seem like there is anyone. And again, other than Adubre Ramos, who I'm starting to really trust, as he looked great, and he has looked great almost every single time he's out this season. He's got like a 0.5 something ERA or whatever. So you got to feel pretty good about him. But outside of those two guys, Tommy Hunter has looked better lately. But look, Adam Morgan has regressed. Victor Arano has regressed. Hector Neris obviously has regressed to the point where he's not on the team anymore. And all these guys that we thought we could count on that look like competent slash good slash very talented pitching arms in the bullpen have all of a sudden become guys that you can't really count on. And it's been a tough spot for Kapler. He's really found a way to manage through it. And I know that, again, I'm going to get attacked for too much Kapler love, but I don't know how else to not give him credit for doing a good job of managing a bullpen that doesn't really have a lot of guys you can count on. And that's tough. We just say put in Sir Anthony or whatever, but he's the one who has to figure out a way to get outs with guys that nobody trusts at the moment, and also to do it by, you know, without tearing up certain arms and keeping guys rested and this and that. So it's tough. It's tough, and I don't envy Kapler in that spot because it's one of those situations where when you don't have guys that you can count on, it also doesn't give guys defined roles, and everyone gets upset. And again, they don't have a closer at the moment, which I know is driving people crazy, and people are saying just make Sir Anthony the closer. But as Gabe rightly has said, you save Sir Anthony for high leverage situations. But the whole thing is just a really tough spot for this team, a team that is look, starting to hit, right? Since Rhys Hoskins has come back, some offense from this team. And again, it's Rhys Hoskins who starts off that rally. Odubel, Herrera, starting to get it going again ever since Rhys gets back. The offense with a little life in it. And if they can hit a bit and the starting pitching can do better than it's been lately. But look, Velasquez has given him mostly good starts. Pivetta, we just saw the guy strike out 13 guys. Nola will be fine. Just a bad start the last time out, but he has been good to great pretty much every time out. And look, Zach Eflin giving you a lot more than I think anyone expected from him or Lively or anyone else in that spot. So if the bullpen can get figured out, whether it's bringing Neshek back or it's ultimately trading for someone or whatever, it will go a long way to making this team a viable team to play into October. And again, I don't think they're going to beat I don't think ultimately they beat whether it's the Nationals or whoever in the playoffs to get there. Just they're young, they're inexperienced, it's tough. But even if they did somehow get to the World Series, I don't think there's any chance they'd beat the Red Sox, the Yankees, or the Astros, but or potentially some other teams like the Mariners. But regardless, I think that it's any reps you can get for this team, for this young group of guys in big games, it's going to matter. Real quick, before we look ahead to tonight's game and the rest of this series, quick note that I had to mention, two quick notes, excuse me. One, Jason Stark, I mentioned him before, a nugget from his useless information department stories, June 15th story on The Athletic. He is the best. I grew up on Jason Stark. He is, his factoids and nuggets and all that stuff are my favorite thing. But one about the Phillies here I thought you guys would find interesting, and about the final game of the Rockies series, and then certainly about the bullpen here. The game they won 5-4, where up 5-1 heading into the ninth, and end up just barely hanging on for dear life as Sir Anthony comes in and able to just barely shut it out. But the note here, according to Stark, the Phillies allowed 5 straight hits to start off the ninth inning and still won 5-4. The Phillies have won 5,642 games since World War II, and in no other of those games did they allow 5 hits to start off the ninth inning. So that's the first time they've ever done that in one of games. So that's pretty crazy. And then one other note, this one not from Stark, but from all over the place, but a fun, you can't predict baseball. Baseball is fun and weird and all that type of thing. Juan Soto, the 19-year-old, fair to say, I think, phenom for Washington. Why do they get all the 19-year-old phenoms? Hits a home run yesterday in a suspended game that happened originally with the Yankees that was being finished. That game, he came in as a bench hitter, I believe. That game happened 5 days before he was called up to the major leagues. So Juan Soto officially hit a home run 5 days before his MLB debut. That's pretty cool. All right. Looking at tonight, Vinny Velasquez on the hill against Luke Weaver. Velasquez obviously coming off that outstanding no-hitter bid in his last start. Hopefully we could see another nice outing from him going up against Weaver, who's talented but has really underperformed. A nice chance for the Phillies to build on the momentum of the thriller last night and take two in a row and potentially have a chance to go into to game three, the day game on Wednesday, with Arrieta versus Michael Wacha with a chance for the sweep. Either way, they will have a chance to win the series that day no matter what happens. And we will be back to talk about it tomorrow leading up to that game. And again, a big chance for the Phillies. Hopefully they can get it done tonight. Go get them, Vinny, and make it happen. So otherwise, keep it here. We've got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.